Today on the 10-12 podcast, we're talking softball with Eric Lopez and Rachel Becker, one of the new voices for Cowgirls Softball. We're looking back at the weekend that was, looking ahead at the weekend that will be, and doing a deep dive on RPI and where your team wants to be. Plus, Houston infielder Lair Boutte talks about the win over Texas and the key to the promised land.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. Find every show on the network at 1012network.com. And of course, we are partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I am your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Thursday. We interrupt your Big 12 basketball tournament to talk softball. On Thursdays, we talk softball. Yes, it's a Mean Girls reference. I'll just keep making it all season. I made the meme. It's sitting in my phone. I'll use it this week on Twitter in reference to this show. That's fine. It's a good joke for me, and it makes me chuckle. Actually, I'm gonna tangent. There is a tweet out that's like, show the video that should save like TikTok, and it's been out for 3 days, and the quote tweets to it have distracted me for two straight days. There's a one with a mouse puppet in chainmail, singing a version of the song from the last season of Stranger Things in reference to avocados. I cannot explain it. It doesn't make any sense. All I know is that it's made me laugh a lot today. So now that tangent is over, we're going to talk softball. I'm done talking about mice and chainmail. Joining me today, as he does every week for softball, he is Eric Lopez. He is the voice of UCF softball. Eric, welcome back.
It's good to be back after a week off, gentlemen. And my voice is a little beat up because I called my first Big 12 series of my career. It was exciting, and the voice is recovering still from it.
How was it calling the first Big 12 series? Does it feel a little bit different? Feel a little more special?
Yes, it does. I mean, it's not supposed to, right? Like, it's just another game in theory, but like, it was. It's the first game in the history of the program in the Big 12. I mean, there was a lot of hoopla. You know, it's been talked about since the schedule came out. Then, to come out on top and win your first Big 12 series against a very good Kansas team, it feels different. And really, it's a credit to Kansas how it was making it special, because I think UCF learned there's no easy wins in this league like there was in the American. As much as I was a big fan of the American, American's a top six league, there were certain series where you're like, all right, you don't have to play your best and you can still get by. UCF found out that even though they won this series with Kansas on Sunday, situational plays that we'll get into is a big factor in winning these games in the Big 12 because of the depth of this league.
Yeah, it's the Big 12, I think, is the strongest it's been in a long time, which is something we'll talk about here in a second. Leah is not here this week. She could not make it. So I am very excited to have, filling in for her, the new color commentator voice of Cowgirl Softball. If you watch on ESPN Plus, you will hear the name of a name that many Oklahoma State fans know very well, because she hit so many incredible balls for OSU last year. She is Rachel Becker. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited.
I'm excited. Look, I'm a big OSU, like, I love the Big 12. I am an Oklahoma State fan at heart. So to have a, even for a brief time, former Oklahoma State great joining us, it's exciting for me. This is fun. I have to ask, Rich, we have to start off. This is your first year doing color for Oklahoma State. If you watch the games on ESPN Plus, that is Rachel's voice that you are hearing. Rachel, how did you get this gig?
Yeah, it kind of just fell in my lap. I think they were looking for somebody and probably reached out to Coach G, and he was like, kind of wanted somebody in the program and wanted someone who kind of knows how Oklahoma State softball is, like inside and out. He wanted someone like that in the role. So, yeah, I don't know. I was just right there for it. And I mean, it's fun. I'm enjoying it so far.
You've done a great job so far, you and Casey Kendrick. So if you're watching Oklahoma State this weekend, OSU fans, UCF fans, you can hear OSU Rachel Becker on the call. Okay, so let's dive into, we got a lot to talk about here. We're going to do our deep dive on RPI because it is time to do so. And Eric is a bracketologist. He will be the bracketologist for D1 softball. He's been doing bracketology for college softball for a few years now. So we're going to do a little RPI. But before we do that, I want to look back at the weekend. We're going to include what was an absolutely loaded Tuesday of midweek games. There were 9, there's 10, 10 games, actually, yeah, 10, because Kansas had added the second game against Wichita State, turned that one game into a doubleheader that they swept, which is absolutely incredible for Kansas, taking those 6-3 and then 6-5 in extra innings. Texas Tech got a sweep. Texas with a much hallabooed game at LSU that they dropped 7-4. Oklahoma got a sweep over Tarleton. Iowa State dropping a game. But let's look at the week in whole plus the games this week. Eric, I'll start with you. Which Big 12 teams impressed you the most?
I think you have to say Houston, because they really were right there in the fight with Texas. They knocked them out on Friday night, 12-10. You're thinking, well, maybe that was just an aberration, but they come back the third game, push them to the limit. It was 6-6 late. Texas had to pull it out. I'm going to give you credit, Philip. You were kind of, hey, what about Houston? What about what Coach Vesely's building? Well, they're building an offense. I think there's still questions about the pitching, but I think Houston surprised people by how well they represented themselves in a sold-out crowd against Texas. I don't think anybody saw that coming. So I would say Houston pleasantly surprised a lot of people opening weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. To get that win, and I know they lost the series, and that's, you come away from that saying like, well, we didn't win the series, so it's not a, you know, not a great thing. It's just one game. But getting that win and pushing Texas as much as they did, you've got to feel pretty good about Houston moving forward. I mean, look, it is Texas. That is a series for across every sport that Houston gets up for. And so the question then moving forward is, yes, it's impressive. Can they carry that momentum the rest of the season? Because if they do, they set themselves up well. If this was it was Texas situation and they treated Texas like a Super Bowl situation, then it might not. But it does set up well as the huge win, biggest win in program history from just a ranking standpoint, knocking off what was number one Texas. Very impressive for Houston. Rachel, for you, which team in the Big 12 impressed you the most this week?
I had Houston as well, actually, for that because of the big win over Texas. And I thought it was cool in general how there was only one sweep in all of the matchups. Like, I think that's really good for the conference. And there are a lot of really close games, like, especially in the series, Oklahoma State and Baylor. All those games were super tight and super, like, they came down to the wire. So that was really cool to see, too.
Yeah. Your only sweep was the number one team in the conference versus Iowa State, who is the worst team in the conference. I mean, it's the way to describe it. I hate to say it about Iowa State, but it is the truth. To see everything else go 2-1, Houston getting the win over Texas, UCF taking 2 of 3 against Kansas in Orlando, as Eric has mentioned, Texas Tech going on the road to Provo. And I thought that would be an offensive shootout from both sides. BYU had their moments with offense, especially in that third game, the one that they got on Saturday. But Texas Tech offense was there the entire weekend. And then, as you mentioned, Rachel, Oklahoma State, Baylor, OSU's both wins on Friday and Sunday come from behind wins, timely hitting that they needed. Baylor played incredibly well. Baylor's pitching was great. They just couldn't get enough offense to top Oklahoma State. I thought it was a fantastic weekend for the Big 12. I'm really curious, based off of what we had for matchup wise last weekend, how much of that carries over this weekend, whereas you had Oklahoma State and Baylor, two of the top four teams, two of the ranked teams facing off. And so you had a lot of the other teams who are unranked facing off and turning 2-1. What happens when OSU is facing UCF? What happens when Baylor's facing Kansas? What happens when we don't have the ranked teams matched up together? I think that's going to make for this weekend. I think it's going to tell us a lot about the Big 12 this weekend because of that.
I agree 100%. I mean, let's first start. I mean, Another team that impressed was Craig Snyder's Texas Tech Red Raiders. 33 runs in the three-game series to beat BYU nearly was outs away from a sweep. The question now is, will that offense carry over hosting Oklahoma and their pitching staff? I think that's a big test for Craig Snyder and the Red Raiders. And then Houston, you mentioned it. Was the success as a result of hosting Texas in your park in a sold-out crowd, or can that carry over when they play Iowa State? I think that's a fascinating series for both sides. Iowa State could turn their season around if they win this series. Houston could say, hey, we're headed for a positive season if we win this year. I think there's some intriguing matchups there. And then the Jayhawks of Kansas, you know, they were one hit away from winning that series against UCF. They've got Casey Hamilton, who've been throwing lights out this year against the Baylor team. It's not 100% healthy.
No, it's going to be a great weekend. I will note, as we mentioned, Houston, Lara Boutte is going to be joining us here in just a little bit. I have a very great conversation with her about that win over Texas and the season so far and looking forward for Houston. Rachel, we're talking about this weekend coming up. Obviously, you're going to be on the call for Oklahoma State. That's going to be a big one. Looking around the rest of the conference, what series are you keeping an eye on?
The rest of the conference, I think we kind of just talked about it, but I think the Baylor and Kansas is going to be a really good matchup. Both those teams are, I just feel like, super competitive. And like you said, Baylor is not completely healthy. So I don't know. I think that'll be a fun one.
All right. So I want to do our RPI deep dive. Obviously, RPA came out last week. I'm going to tell you where everything stands as of Tuesday night as of recording this. This will be very different by the time, or it'll be different by the time it drops on Thursday, because Tuesday and Wednesday games will be included. They will have an impact. I think Kansas will move up after getting that Tuesday sweep over Wichita State. That should add two more quad two wins to Kansas's resume. We'll explain the quad system here in a minute. I'm going to run down the RPI list as it is at this moment. Texas at 3. That'll change with the loss to LSU. Oklahoma State at 7. Oklahoma at 8, Baylor at 9. That's three Big 12 teams there in the top 10. Looks very similar to the rankings across most sites. Texas Tech at 26, Houston 34, Kansas 39, UCF 50, BYU 58, Iowa State at 108. Hopefully we can get Iowa State up into above 100 in the top 100 out of that quad four range. Eric, let's start by, you are, as we mentioned, our bracketology guru. Looking at where the Big 12 stands, and it is the, I think, the number three conference from an RPI standpoint. Behind
number two
SEC.
Now. Number two. It passed the Pac-12 this week.
Okay.
It's number two behind the SEC. Now, that could go back and forth, but the Big 12 is now number two.
That's fantastic. And that is a place you want. Last year, by the end of the year, the Big 12 was number one. At number two is very good. Looking at where teams stand right now, the first question is just overall, what's your opinion on the Big 12 in the current RPI?
I think right now, the Big 12, you look at four teams in the top 10, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, Baylor, all four of those teams are in position to host and be a top 16 national seed, which is what we thought, but I got to say, I was wrong about Oklahoma State. I thought they would miss Rachel Becker a lot more than they have. I don't understand it. Kenny Gajewski told me he was going to miss Rachel Becker and all his senior players. I don't know if he was hookwicking me or what, but all the focus was on who wasn't at Oklahoma State, but now they're still top 10 with that young talent. Lexi Kilfoy obviously is a huge six part of that. I think she's the front runner for Big 12 Pitcher of the Year right now. But the Big 12 is in position for four teams to host. And you look at Kansas, Houston, UCF, even BYU, you know, Texas Tech. Those teams are in the mix to host. You mentioned it. There's every team in the Big 12 outside of Iowa State's inside the top 60 RPI. That's in good shape. If you win games in this league, you're going to get a chance to get into the NCAA tournament. I think the Big 12 has a really good chance to get anywhere from 5 to 7 bids. And it's been a while since we've said the Big 12 getting 6, 7 bids. They've been kind of stuck on 4. There was the year Iowa State made it in 21 where they got 5 bids. You know, Texas Tech made it in 19 with Aaron Edmondson. But can they kind of get to that 6, 7 bid league? I think this year they can. Between the combination of Texas Tech, Kansas, UCF, Houston, BYU, you got to think if you're the league, you can at least get 3 of those 5 to play well down the stretch and get you to be a 6, 7 bid league, which would be a huge success for the league. But, and I know in talking to all the coaches before the season, they felt this was the deepest the league has been in a long time, and that would prove it.
to see the league expand to 10 teams and not be watered down, but to feel that it's as deep as it is, when you add more teams and the depth gets better, that is a fantastic thing. And it is good to have more teams, because the problem you had in the Big 12 for so long was that everyone had three auto losses against Oklahoma. Everyone had just about three auto losses against Texas and just about three auto losses against Oklahoma State. And so you're looking there and then you're just trying to see if anybody else could get enough wins to get themselves in, when you're staring at between 7 and 9 losses on your schedule automatically because of how good those three teams were. Now you have opportunities for wins, and the teams are doing their part, have done their part in non-conference by not coming in with a bad RPI and just being like, just bringing everybody else down. Texas being at 26, Houston being at 34, Kansas at 39, and it's going to go up with those two wins over Wichita State. That lifts the entire conference up. That helps everybody. This is the situation of like, all the ships, whatever. I can never remember the saying. It's old. I can't do it. But you guys know what I'm trying to say. Eric, I want to ask this. Where do you want to be in RPI? So that when you come down to Selection Sunday and they're going to put that bracket out there and you're wondering, are we going to have a shot to see our name called and to get in as an at-large team? Roughly, where do you want to be in the RPI?
Well, I would say probably in the 30s. 40s, it could go either way. 40s, it could go either way, because it depends on your strength of schedule, your resume. It's a toss-up. If you're in the 30s and you're at a league like the Big 12, you're probably going to get in. It's also important to be above 500. That's kind of what's cost Kansas in the recent years, is they had the quality wins, but they weren't above 500. That's why that Wichita series doubleheader sweep on Tuesday was significant for Jennifer McFalls. That's a doubleheader in years past. They either split or lose that series. That makes a big difference in the at-large when it comes to at-larges. But you want to be in the 30s to really feel good about your chances as an at-large team. And if you want to host, you want to be inside the top 16 RPI. Usually there's one team outside the top 16 that'll host, but when you really would feel comfortable if you're in the top 16, which, again, I think Oklahoma, Texas, Baylor, and Oklahoma State have put themselves in a great position to host as a top 16 by being in the top 10 already. And if they have success moving forward, that's good. That's going to keep them in that range, which will be big, big plus for the league.
Absolutely. One thing I want to note, we kind of teased it, is the quad system. With basketball and all we have, everybody who follows men's basketball understands quads, right? Quad one, quad two, quad three, quad four. What classifies as quad one, two, three, or four in softball is different than men's basketball. So we have to understand it. It is a tighter window for what are considered quality wins. There are 306 D1 softball programs. Only the top 100 are quad one, two, or three. 101 through 306 are quad four. They're all teams that you just...
Which I know you hate.
I do. It's too many. You can't have that much, like 2/3 of the sport, and say these teams don't matter, because that's what a quad four win is. In basketball, when we talk about quad four wins or losses, it's like you played too many horrible teams. And I understand that there is more depth in basketball because there are smaller rosters than there are in softball as far as talented players and so on and so forth. I understand all that. It bothers me that more than 2/3 of the sports is considered bad.
Well, and I agree with you, for the record. I think it's an archaic system from the standpoint of, 10 years ago, maybe softball teams 100 were not very good. But now you're finding teams that are capable of beating a top 10, top 20 team. Rachel, you know about this. There's more parity in the sport. Like, everybody was flipping out, Rachel, last year when you guys, down the stretch when you all were kind of scuffling. But I was telling people, it's like, teams like Central Arkansas are really good too now. And I'm not saying they were in the category of a quad four, but my point is, a team that's maybe 105, 110, and a team that's maybe 20 or 25 in the RPI, the gap's much smaller now than it was, like, say, 10 years ago when this system was created.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the quad system is still kind of new to me. I'm not completely sure on even how they figure out, like, the RPI and all of that stuff, but it is pretty interesting for, teams like us last year when we went and played like North Texas and teams like Wichita State, like even smaller schools like that, they're still so high up in the RPI because of their schedules and their wins and stuff. And, even when we did kind of drop those games, it wasn't like we had gotten penalized that much because those teams are getting better every single year.
Rachel, how much do you players pay attention to some of like this talk about resumes and seedings and hosting stuff. How much do you all pay attention? Do you block that off? Because I know a couple of years ago when UCF was in the mix to the host, the players for UCF, I was blown away how on top of things they were. Like they were aware of, hey, we're up against this team and we're competing. Are you as players or do you push, do you look at that maybe closer to the year? Do you block that off? What's the from a player standpoint?
We pretty much block it out and just try to win each game at a time. When we were kind of down that stretch and like lost early in the Big 12 tournament, we were like, we don't know if we're gonna host. We don't know where if we're even gonna be like in the top 16. I don't know. It was crazy. And we were just kind of waiting to see. And at that point, we had kind of forgotten about the first half of our season, which was so strong. So for us, it was kind of just about focusing on the games and then just letting the committee take it from there because we have no control over where we ended up. So kind of just seeing where we ended up and then getting ready to, attack from that standpoint.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So obviously the RPI matters where you are in that RPI matters. The other things again would be quad wins, quad four. You don't want to lose quad four. You try not to lose quad three. You want those quad one and two wins. Those are teams against top 25 for quad one, top 25 through 50 for quad two. Texas currently with what should still be at time of recording seven quad one wins, which are a lot for this point in the season. Oklahoma State has three, Oklahoma's got three. And so you want to stack up as many of those, especially when it comes down to, are we going to make it or not? Like if it is picking between teams, if we're getting down into that lower 30, upper 40 area and the committee is saying this team versus this team or this team, it is looking at various resumes. Do you have quad four losses? Do you have quad one wins? What's your resume in quad one and quad two combined? Texas Tech's problem last year, because I think they were a good team last year, but their non-conference was so loaded with quad fours, they didn't have any good wins. They didn't pick up a quad one or two win until they played Texas State in a midweek, like in the middle of conference play. They didn't have any wins to hang their hat on because the schedule that Craig Snyder had put together for him when he arrived just wasn't very good. It wasn't on him. That's why he worked so hard to get a better non-conference slate this year. And that is why they're sitting at the RPI where they are right now at 26, because they've got a couple of quad ones, a couple of quad twos. Even with quad one losses, you'd still rather had a few of those than to have just a bevy of quad four games.
Which is why you always schedule a tough knock. I mean, Kenny Gajewski, Rachel knows this, plays as tough of a schedule in the non-conference as anybody because it puts him in a position not just to host, but perhaps be a top eight host. At the end of the day, people focus on win losses, but it's about the quality of your wins and even the quality of your losses that can make a difference. You want to avoid as many quad four losses as possible. That's as simple as that. And the way you do that is your league's got to be strong. And you look at the Big 12 right now. Everybody except Iowa State is a quad one or basically a quad two game, borderline, borderline quad three if with BYU. But and I think Iowa State, maybe I'll be proven wrong, but Jamie Pinkerton, they usually play better in conference. I'm sure he's wondering why do we always get ourselves in this hole that we put ourselves into in the non-conference. But I would like to think Iowa State will play better here down the stretch, and that'll turn into a quad three team. But I think that's the key is you want to play the quality games. And that's the exciting thing about this is if you're a Big 12 team, and Rachel, you know this, every weekend you've got an opportunity to pick up a quality win to improve your resume. Not every conference could say that.
Yeah, and I think that's why these Big 12 games are getting so competitive. Like as we saw last weekend, so many games were like neck and neck because all of the teams that used to be on the bottom half are sort of elevating up into like quad two and quad one teams. So yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting season. I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Well, an example of that was Kansas. I called the Kansas UCF series. Philip, you and Justin, I heard you last week. You were both picked Kansas. That may or may not have
No, no, no. No. I picked UCF. Leah and Justin picked Kansas. I was the only one who picked UCF 2-1.
Actually, I know that. I just wanted to make sure you threw Lee under the bus, not me, for the record. But in all seriousness, Kansas went back to Casey Hamilton on Sunday because they wanted to salvage a game. You know, they lost in extra innings on Saturday. They're like, let's just get a game here. Because if you get a game in a series, that's still a quality win on the road against a good UCF team. So that's why every game matters, you know, and it's hard to get a sweep, I think, in this league. And I think that's what's so big is teams. I think you're going to see this more and more. I think teams that are, let's say, drop the first two games, I think you're going to see them throw their aces on Sunday to salvage a game. And I thought Campbellton rose to the occasion. She was fantastic through her fifth shutout. I was really impressed with Kansas, Philip. You were on the bandwagon with Kansas before the year, and I'm with you now. I like their staff, Katie Brooks. The interesting thing is they're not healthy. Lizzie Ludwig has not pitched much. She's injured. We don't know when they're going to get her back. They're currently without their best bat in the lineup, but they got Lyric Moore, and they've got that experience. They know this is the year. They want to make that tournament. And a win against UCF on the road to go with a win at A&M, a non-conference. Now two wins against Wichita. Now they host Baylor. Let's say they win a game or even win the series against Baylor. That is a massive step up for that program if they want to make it to the NCAA tournament. That's why, I mean, it's cliche. And Rachel, you can speak to this. But every game in the Big 12 feels like a region. It's big. It's a regional game. I think everybody understands that.
Yeah, for sure. My first series in the Big 12, I was just like, after that, I was drained. Like, my energy was so low because every single game is like a battle. Every single second of every single game, you are like 100% locked in and you realize how important it is to get those wins. And it's really not easy at all. Like, I feel like you're only playing one game, whereas in the like pre-conference season, you're playing two a day, but it feels the same because you're just 100% invested in every single second of the game.
I want to real quick. I'm going to cut it. I want to ask a question because I don't think I've ever asked this one. It is interesting to have, like, you have your Clearwater where you're going, you're going to play five or six games on a weekend, two games in a day, multiple days. And then you have your three game series where it's one game a day. Which one is harder, Rachel? Or what is it the difference that maybe the one's not harder than the other, but it's just there's different challenges?
Yeah, it's the so playing like in Clearwater where you do have multiple games in a day is tough. Just it's tough to lock in for that long and to just be at the field all day. The conference season is nice because you know you just have these seven innings and that's all you need to give. But I think the conference season, the stakes are just so much higher and like a lot. Every single game, every single team that you play, you know, is going to come to beat you and they're going to give you their best. So if you don't show up that day, like you're going to lose. So I think the conference is just a different like level. Like you really have to be locked in every second. So it's just very intense and very draining, but so much fun. Like this is the
Well,
best time ever.
and I think Cindy Ball Malone said that in the post game Sunday, that that's a learning experience for her team. That, you know, even though you won the series, you got to get up here. They're going to be ready to go in that third game. And that'll be something to follow with UCF, Houston, BYU as they get used to that. I feel like we've dodged the big topic, elephant in the room, which is, of course, UCF, Oklahoma State. I mean, our teams are playing here. Rachel, what do you remember from last year? Because UCF played there in a non-conference tournament, which was frigid conditions. Hopefully it's. I remember that because I kept hearing about that from the UCF side of things. But you played them in a tournament. I believe Arizona State was in that tournament. I want to say Minnesota maybe snuck in there as well late. But what do you remember from those two UCF games that you played?
See, it's so hard for me to even remember those games because like kind of like I mentioned earlier, those double headers like in the pre-conference, they kind of just fly by and you are like you don't spend as much time preparing for those games and you kind of just go in and you know just battle as best as you can. But I just, yeah, like you said, I remember it was freezing and I'm pretty sure it was pretty competitive with them. So with UCF and like all those teams in that tournament. But yeah, I remember they had a good athletic team. And I mean, I'm pretty sure we won those games, but
Did they win those?
it was
You did
definitely
win.
competitive and definitely a battle. So I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what to look forward to real quick here. If we get this, and you know how that is, coaches are not going to reveal anything until, so you're not going to know until game time. But Friday night, Lexi Kilfoyle versus Sarah Willis. Sign me
Ooh.
up. Sign me up. If that happens, I would make the case that's maybe the best pitching matchup you're going to get Friday night in the entire country with those two.
For
I really,
sure.
I'm a huge fan of both of them. Sarah Willis was phenomenal against Kansas Friday night. Nine strikeouts, a career high. Drove in two runs. She's a two-way player. And then, Rachel, you tell me. I think Lexi Kilfoyle has taken her game to a next level. Let's forget the fact that, I think she won't admit, but, all the chatter about, well, Kelly Maxwell left, who's going to take over and this or that. I think she likes this group a lot. I talked to her before this season. She's raised her game to a different level, and I think we're seeing that.
Oh, for sure. She's always been so good. And I feel like she's never gotten that like ace recognition until this year. And everyone is kind of just like, we knew all along that she was going to be steady for this team and, kind of be the leader in the circle for the team this year. And she has done exactly that. And I'm just amazed by her. She's done amazing so far. And she's just so consistent. Like she never really has a bad day. You never see her be down or have a bad day. I think that's the coolest thing about her.
We talk about Lexi a lot. We need to give props to Ivy Rosenberg because the top two ERAs in the Big 12 right now are Lexi and Ivy. And Rosenberg's kind of been the surprise for this team. There's a lot of surprises with Oklahoma State because we didn't know what to expect coming in. I thought Aycock would be that number two there. To see the way that Rosenberg has stepped up and be able to just take on full games has been really good to see for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, she's definitely stepped up for the team this year, and she's gotten on really well with our new pitching coach, Carrie Eberle. Her and Ivy just have a great relationship, and I think that Ivy realized that we were going to need her this year, like a lot, especially after Kelly leaving, and then, we still have Kyra and Lexi, but we really needed her to step up, and I just think Ivy's so much more confident this year, and, yeah, she's doing great so far.
All right, Rachel, I'm gonna have you here. I'd be remiss. Eric kind of teased it. We didn't know what to expect from Oklahoma State coming into the season. Even listening to Kenny in an interview, he seemed like he didn't know what to expect from this season. There's legitimate reason to think that OSU might take a step back with everything they lost. We're not talking about just Kelly. I'm like, just across the board, the names that had been on this team last year, who had been in this program for so long and through all these Women's College World Series appearances. What is it about this team that we all just either we all missed and Gajewski missed, or he just kept secret, didn't tell us about?
I think what's so cool about this team is we have so many young players. Like we have majority, I think, of our starters are underclassmen, and they have stepped up in a really big way. And I don't think that we really knew how big of an impact some of these freshmen were going to have, like Carly Godwin and Rosie Davis. Those are just the two that have really stepped up and anchored our infield. And we've had so many girls just step into new positions and be so, I guess, like flexible. And it's, I don't know, it was a really interesting fall, coming into the fall and seeing all of the new girls, new faces that we had, and trying to figure out where everybody was going to fit was really difficult. But I mean, we've had some young girls step up really big. And then the girls that we had last year, some of the returning starters have just continued right where they left off.
Talen Edwards has been just highlight play after highlight play after highlight play at third base. Just been absolutely incredible for OSU this season. I at least three SportsCenter top 10 moments. I think she's only gotten one official one, but there have been numerous we have witnessed. Look, I think that we're going to pick this one. We've got three series we're going to pick. We're going to do OSU UCF last because I do think it is the one of the weekend in the Big 12. To me, maybe I'm just wearing my orange tinted glasses, and we do have a lot of OSU and UCF representation here today.
Wild. It's wild. This is great.
It's like it just worked out perfectly having. Thank you, Leah, for missing this week so that we could have Rachel and Eric hop on. We got three series we're going to pick. Now, of course, it's not just don't just pick the team. You got to pick the team and the record. So 3-0, 2-1, whatever you want to do here. We're going to start with Iowa State hosting Houston. I picked this one because this is a big opportunity for Houston. These are the kinds of games you're coming off the series with Texas. You don't want to dip here. Iowa State, again, this is a quad four game for Houston. you don't want to drop off here. You can't take off even if Iowa State at a 108 in RPI. You can't take this weekend off and think you're just going to come in here and have no problems on the road in Ames. It's tough to go all the way up to Ames and play, Rachel. I'm sure you can. Well, no, because Iowa State came. That's right. They came to Stillwater last season. Still, Iowa State last year by the end of the year was difficult. So, Rachel, I'm going to let you go first here. Who do you have here? What's your record?
I am going to go with Houston, and I think they're going to win two games, and I think Iowa State is going to win one. I just think that this will be a good test, like you said, to Houston, and I think Iowa State's pretty scrappy. They took a game from us last year, so they're definitely going to fight, and I think they're going to get one.
Eric?
So I think if you're Jamie Pinkerton, your approach is, hey, guys, we got the Oklahoma games out of the way, right? We're 0-0 now. New season. You're at home. They got to win this series. Otherwise, you're digging yourself a big hole. And if you're Houston, you want this Texas win to matter. You don't want this. I have questions about both pitching staffs. I would not be surprised if you see a lot of offense in this series. I'm going to go with Iowa State 2-1 because they're at home and they're the desperate team that's hungry. And they usually turn it on in conference. But this – listen, if Houston wins this series, Phillip, then I will jump on board on as far as Houston is a legitimate NCAA tournament candidate. I just question my concern about Houston is I think they're literally got 2-3 pitchers on the staff. Taylor Edwards pitched the other day. She's back on the team out of nowhere. Where did that happen? But anyway, there'll be a lot of scoring in this series.
And look, Houston's been hitting the ball really, really well. Like, this has been a fun offense. This is a good offense to score. And so going on the road, it really is. Can Houston avoid a hangover? Again, you didn't win the series against Texas, but you won one. You almost got them on Sunday. You played a great series against them. This would be a hangover and a letdown if they go on the road to Ames. I'm going to put my faith in Viselli. I hate doing this to Pink. I really do. Maybe he won't listen this week since Leah's not on the show and I don't have to feel bad.
You're going Vess over Pink.
Yeah. I'm going to take Viselli. It's kind of like, it's similar to Kansas. Like, Viselli has kind of pushed all her chips in this season, in this first season of the Big 12, to trying to get this program turned back to round. Kind of like this is the year for McFalls at Kansas. We got to do it this year. Next year they're gonna have to replace a lot. So I'm gonna take Houston 2-1 as well. I definitely don't think they're gonna go on the road. I don't think I could pick Houston to sweep anybody. As good as the offense is, Iowa State's gonna be difficult at home to play. They're always good at home. I do think they take every – Lee has said it. Iowa State steps up against the better teams, right? But I feel like in Big 12 play, you treat every team like a better team because it is conference play. So I think Iowa State will bring their best. I'll take Houston 2-1, but I think it's going to be a close – like, we're going to see a lot in the Big 12 this season. I think it's going to be a close series. All right, so let's move to – I picked this one because it's – when we started the season, before the season – I said Oklahoma would lose multiple Big 12 games this year. And I said, I don't know who it will be. Would it shock me if Texas Tech found a way to put up a bunch of points and steal one away from Oklahoma? Well, it's Oklahoma-Texas Tech in Lubbock this weekend, so I got to put this one on here. Rachel, who do you have in this series? What's the record?
So I've been going back and forth because I could see Oklahoma sweeping Texas Tech, but I really do think these games are going to be like super high scoring. I think Oklahoma is going to need to really put on a bunch of runs because we know Texas Tech in the last weekend, they showed that they can score runs too. So I still think Oklahoma will sweep, but I think it'll be way more competitive than it has been in the past.
Fair enough. Eric?
I agree. It could be high scoring, especially if the wind's blowing out, right, Rachel? If the wind blows out in Lubbock, I've heard that ball, it could be 21-14. It could be a football game. It could break out. This is a big one for Craig Snyder and Texas Tech. We're going to find out. Can they put up runs against Oklahoma? I think they will at least in one of those games, if not two. I think that'd be great. I'm not sold that his pitching staff can hold Oklahoma. Not that many can. By the way, stat for both of you. There are currently seven Big 12 teams in the top 50 in the country in runs scored and batting average. Hello, there is a ton of offense in this league, and those are two of the teams, Texas Tech and Oklahoma. I'm going to go with the Sooners to sweep, but I do think Texas Tech will make it interesting, and they will have an opportunity to maybe steal a game, but can they take advantage? We shall see.
I know there are a few OU fans who listen to this show and pay attention. And I'm going to hear about this. I just know I am. I'm going to do it anyways, because I put it out there before the season, so I'll stick with it. I'm going to take OU 2-1. I think because this is in Lubbock, because Texas Tech knows this is a big opportunity, because this are like, I'm not going to pull the like, OU's not as good. OU is still ridiculously good. But they have shown spots of vulnerability. Just little ones, just little glimpses. And I'm going to say that Texas Tech is able to take advantage of some off thing that happens and get one game. I think it's going to be a high scoring game. It's going to be some like 10, like 12, 11 win in extra innings. But I think they're going to do just enough on offense in one game. They're going to have one game where they just put everything into, because Texas Tech almost beat Oklahoma in one of the games last year. They pulled out like eight different, they had like a new pitcher every single inning to try crazy things to beat Oklahoma, and they almost got them. I think Texas Tech, year two for Craig Snyder, he'll have a game plan. I think they're going to have one game they win. OU's going to win this series. I'm not crazy, but I think Texas Tech could steal one.
And that would be huge for the NCAA tournament chances of Texas Tech if they could pull that off, too. That would be huge.
Agreed. Agreed. All right. Last one, as I said, I think the biggest game or series of the weekend, if you want to argue Baylor, Kansas, I will hear that because I do think it's an interesting one. I'm going to take Oklahoma State, UCF. Obviously, bias is the side of everyone here. Eric, I'll let you go first here. What's your pick?
Well, first of all, I need some help and advice from both of you here, because the Big 12 decided to schedule this series the same weekend that UCF baseball is hosting Oklahoma State. First Big 12 series for baseball. What am I supposed to do here, guy? Am I supposed to go to baseball and watch softball from there? Am I just going to stay home and listen to Rachel and avoid? What am I missing if I don't go to baseball, Phillip? Is Oklahoma State good this year in baseball? First, I need to answer that because I'm really stressed out about this.
They're not bad.
Oh, that's not a big endorsement, I tell you that.
It's not Josh Holliday's worst team. It's not his best team. They're okay. They're okay. They just are. I think there's some youth on this roster, and so they're okay. Like I'm putting all my eggs in softball.
Wow. All right. So in other words, stay home and watch softball and listen to Rachel Becker. Got it. Made a note of that. Look, I think it's a big series for UCF. They got to at least get a game here. You look at UCF stretch, Oklahoma State on the road, then host Texas back-to-back, then go to Texas Tech. Hello. And it was funny because some of the UCF fans have been coming and grumbling a little bit because they haven't had a top 25 win yet. They've had opportunities. They haven't had it yet. I'm like, don't worry. They got plenty of opportunities. That's the good news. The bad news is they got plenty of opportunities. It's going to come down to – I think it's going to come down to you got Kilfoyle and Willis. Which of those pitchers showcases themselves this weekend? And you mentioned, obviously, Roseberry for Oak State. Caitlin Felton was really stepped in through eight innings, career high in the win with UCF. Oh, I'm going to pick UCF because otherwise I may not be allowed back. But if you're UCF, even if you lose a series 2-1, that's still a good series. I think it's going to be a tight series, very similar to Oklahoma State Bear. I think there's going to be some late situational hitting that's going to decide this series.
All right, so you're taking UCF 2-1.
Let's do it.
All right. Rachel?
I mean, I really, truly think that Oklahoma State can sweep UCF. I think that both teams, like you said, have good pitching. I think it's going to come down to who, you know, is able to manufacture those runs because both teams are strong pitching-wise. And I think it's going to be really competitive, so I'm excited to see. But I have to pick Oklahoma State. I have to. I think they're going to, especially being at home, first conference weekend at home, it's going to be nice. The crowd is going to be there. It's going to be a good atmosphere. So I don't know.
Is the weather going to be better? Please tell me the weather is better than last year.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice this weekend.
All right. Very good.
Let's see. Stillwater OK forecast. Let's just Google this while we're here. 10-day forecast for Stillwater. We're going to do this. This is great. This is great radio.
Rachel, you'll learn as a broadcaster. You can just abstain from making a pick. You'll look smart either way. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I got a comment. I got a broadcast. I'm going to play a neutral here. Okay. You'll learn that as time goes. Like, if this series was in Orlando and Phillip asked me, I would have just said, hey, I'm calling the series. I can't pick.
Yeah. mostly and partly cloudy all weekend. Highs in the mid to upper 60s. 17 mile per hour winds Friday, 14 mile per hour winds on Sunday, 6 mile per hour on very, 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 we're talking 4% rain chances. So it's going to be windy, which welcome to Oklahoma. That's pretty
well,
much.
Well, is standard. That Rachel, when you hear that, what does that mean as far as how the park's going to play?
The wind, so usually it blows out to left center. So I think it's, I mean, I guess it's good for the long ball, but you never know. Sometimes the wind changes direction so fast and then it, you just never know. It's crazy, but it is always windy. So it's pretty normal for us.
It will be blowing north, northeast. So that would be, I believe, out of the park. Not back into it. So certainly something to keep an eye on this weekend. I got to make a pick. This isn't just the first home conference series. This is the first like home weekend series to get excited about. Because other than this, they played a Friday doubleheader against Drake and someone else. I feel bad. I can't remember who it was. You've had one midweek against Wichita State, which was great, but it's a midweek. This is the first like legitimate home weekend series for Oklahoma State fans to get to. So I imagine it will be packed. I imagine that the decks will be ripping and roaring. And as Leah has said, those fans will be prepared to say whatever needs to be said to the UCF outfield and know all sorts of strange things about them. Rachel, I have to ask, because Leah has said that like Oklahoma State fans out in the decks are like super educated and know the all weird sorts of like things about their boyfriends and parents and stuff to like razz them and talk to them about. Is this true?
I mean, yeah, I think they do their research. They really try to do what they can to kind of, you know, mess with the other team. But I don't know. I don't really hear any of that since I'm in the infield and usually not really paying attention to what they're saying, but they definitely get pretty rowdy out there.
They're probably, I guarantee the visiting families are probably saying, "Did you see that basketball scoreboard between UCF Oak State?" Maybe that's the trash talking you're getting.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, that's a good point.
Good. Softball can get some revenge with, again, we're putting all the eggs in the yellow stickball basket. I will take OSU 2-1. I do think a sweep by OSU is more likely than a UCF series win. I will take OSU 2-1. Again, I think it's going to be another close series. UCF has proven they can do some timely hitting. OSU has as well. So I think it'll be another tight series this weekend. I'll take OSU to win it. But I'll say UCF is able to get their first quad one win of the season over a ranked opponent to boost their resume up and help the entire conference and start marching towards a postseason bid. All right. We've got Lair coming up here in just a few minutes. Before we get to that, if you said we're taking a break from basketball, but if you're going to be in Kansas City this weekend, if you're going to be watching basketball, make sure that you stop by the Charlie Hustle pop-up shop there in the Power and Light District. All the videos I've seen, Haley Lewis, who was on the show Monday, was there and has been posting a lot of videos. It looks like a ton of fun. You can shoot some hoops. You can check out the glitter ball. There's a glitter basketball. It's like I want my photo with it, and I can't get it. There is tons of great gear. All the new gear that they have dropped is going to be there in Kansas City. You should go and check it out. Don't forget, if you can't make it out there, that's okay. Everything's online. There's promos going on all week. All the new gear they dropped. Eric, there's a Fear the Fron shirt, and it's fantastic at Charlie Hustle. It's absolutely fantastic. They've got new hoodies they just dropped. There's a UCF one. There's Oklahoma State one. You go online. Go to charliehustle.com. Use that promo code 101215. TEN1215 gets you 15% off all non-sale items. So if there's something you want that's not on sale, use that promo code and save. If it is on sale, don't worry about it. And it's all non-sale items, not first-time purchase. So you can use it as many times as you want. There's plenty of stuff to do. I've got that. I have the Big 12 varsity jacket. It's supposed to be in the mail. And I'm, I bought a Big 12 jacket because the logo is so cool. And I'm very excited. So charliehustle.com, really appreciate Charlie Hustle being a sponsor here on the show and for the entire network and for their partnership with the Big 12 and all the great stuff they're putting out. So stop by the pop-up shop in Kansas City if you're there. If not, check out the website and plenty of fun stuff for you to find there. Eric, do me a favor. You won't be on the call this weekend because UCF's not at home, but I'm sure you're still going to have plenty to say about what's going on. Where can everybody find all the coverage you have of UCF and college softball in general? Big news you dropped this week.
That's right. The In the Circle podcast is now in a new home. It's on D1Softballs.com. So excited to be a part of that. If you're a longtime listener of D1 Softball, still you can listen to same places you always listen to the podcast. But we're obviously, if you got new listeners, we're going to talk all college softball year round and break it down Mondays and Thursdays in the circle on D1 Softball. We're going to hopefully get Rachel on the show at some point. That could be fun. But we're going to do that. Obviously, In the Circle SB on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it, on social media. I'm on Eric Lopez Elo. I'll be covering UCF Oklahoma State softball. I'll be supposed to be covering UCF Oklahoma State baseball after covering UCF Oklahoma State basketball. It's a UCF Oklahoma State week. It was destined. It was destiny that the three of us would be on this same show. Destiny this week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Eric, you do so much, man. Like, you got so much to plug, and it's awesome. It's awesome. Like, I'm thrilled to have you on the show because there's no one I would rather have here as far as helping us cover Big 12, all the knowledge you have of college softball and your passion and love for it. Rachel, you will be on the call this weekend on ESPN Plus for Oklahoma State and UCF. So, of course, we'll be able to see you there. Where else can people find you as well?
I guess I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram and stuff like that. But I guess Rachel.Becker15 is usually my username for things if you want to give me a follow. But other than that, no, just on the ESPN Plus. So excited to do that.
Rachel, we're going to need some photos from the booth. We're going to need some videos at the field. Like, you gotta start plugging you. You got to everybody know that that's who's talking, because like, they'll say it at the very beginning.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. And they'll say it at the very end, but then there's seven innings plus commercials in the middle where it's like, I don't know who is that? That voice sounds familiar. The first time I heard you, I was like, oh, Purdue? Okay. Someone from Purdue? That's interesting. Oh, that's who that is. So you gotta name drop throughout so everybody knows that it is Oklahoma State legend Rachel Becker, and then you got to get some social plugs. Everyone's like, "Oh, that's who this is." We'll make sure. Well, tell you what, I'm gonna do it for you. We're just gonna blast everyone and be like, "This is who it is. It's Rachel Becker."
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. I can start like vlogging and like making a whole series about it.
Perfect, perfect. All right, very excited for this weekend. Cannot wait. Thank you, everybody. We got Lair coming up here in just a second. We'll be back on Monday. What are we gonna talk about? Selection Sunday, because Selection Sunday is Sunday. We're gonna have a lot to talk about then. Will we live pick brackets with Andy and Jamie? I don't know. Probably, because if I tell you that's what we're gonna do, it won't happen. We'll find out then.
Very excited today to have one of the offensive weapons, and I think that's a good way to describe her, from the Houston Cougars, Lair Boutte, joining us today. Lair, welcome to the 10-12.
Thank you for having me.
Very excited to have you here today. Very excited to talk about Houston Cougars, because first year in the Big 12, that should be exciting enough. But then to start Big 12 play the way Houston did this past weekend with a win over previously number one Texas is huge. I want to start there because that's been the storyline, I think, around softball, is just to see this shocking win from Houston over Texas on Friday and then to give them the fight that you guys did all weekend despite losing the series. Let's start with Friday. It was one of the biggest wins in program history. How did that win resonate for you guys? What was the thought in the locker room both heading into that game and then afterwards coming out with that win?
Going into the game, we were just like, it's Big 12 play. So we were just very excited to, you know, get the season going officially. You know, we had our preseason wins and everything, but in the locker room, we just had all good vibes. Everybody was just ready to play. And we were just pumped. You're like, we don't care the rankings. We don't care what's across the chest. We were just gray faced and we were ready to play.
Okay. So you guys go through the game. You have a fantastic performance on Friday and you get the win. I mean, it's obviously it's a big celebration. What's the big look? It's Texas. Like, yeah. Houston, Texas doesn't like playing Houston. I mean, we ran the joke for 2 years, Texas having to be in the same conference as Houston is just the worst thing that could ever happen for Texas. Like, I know you are new to Texas coming in from Tennessee, but like, what's the vibe from a Houston standpoint of getting that win?
It was just, I don't know, coming from like watching football and basketball and, you know, just knowing like people don't like Texas here as much as other schools don't like Texas. It was just like, wow, we beat Texas. Like, we officially go, we beat Texas. So it was just really fun. It was very, you know, I felt like it really just set a tone and let the world know, like, Houston's coming to play this year. So it's just like letting them know it doesn't matter what's across our chest. We are all coming to play today.
I mean, you've played in some big games previously. Where does this one kind of rank, this past weekend series with Texas for you?
I'd have to say it's top three. Top three, definitely.
That's awesome. Like, I do think it opened a lot of eyeballs. We've talked about it here on the show. Like, it puts Houston in a spot where you go, they have a real chance to make it to the postseason. Obviously, that's the goal. But, like, how did that win affect you guys as a team mindset? Is it just now we've got to put it behind us, we're moving on? Or do you feel like this team still kind of got a little – has that given you some extra energy?
I feel like it does. Like, I personally – well, I've talked to some of the girls. We feel like we can compete with anybody, no matter who they are, what their rank. Like, we're all here to play the game, and we're going to show off our talent. We're going to have a great face, and we're just going to go and attack the person day by day. And I feel like that is really going to help our momentum throughout the rest of the season. Just, you know, not caring who we play, the Oklahomas, the Oklahoma States, it's just going to be a great face, straightforward, and we're just going to keep playing our game.
So, like, from the outside looking in, there's always the question of when you get a big win like that, your hope is it creates momentum moving forward. Yes. Your fear is that you suffer the hangover from the big win, right? Like, this is a big series against Texas. It's home. It starts Big 12 play. Can you carry that forward? What are you guys talking about internally, and how is the coaching staff talking as you guys prepare to head to Ames this weekend to face Iowa State, who is obviously not as good as Texas this year? They're not ranked. It doesn't have the name recognition, but it's still a Big 12 series. How are you guys talking about things this week to kind of get past Texas and look forward to Iowa State?
We really just, of course, we have to win, and, you know, we just put it behind us. We focus on the person in front of us, and we treat everybody the same, no matter the rankings, the name, no, nothing. Like, everybody's going to come out and give their best, of course, knowing that we just beat Texas. So just knowing that we're going to get the best of each team that we go, that we have moving forward.
So, like I mentioned, you transferred in from Tennessee.
Yes.
What led to you committing to Houston? Coming from Tennessee, having two very successful years there, you picked Houston. It's not a program that's had the postseason success. Obviously, it was joining the Big 12, but doesn't have the pedigree to some as an SEC program. Not my words. I'm just saying how people view. But what led to you picking Houston and coming to play for Coach Vaselli?
It was very welcoming, very inviting. I was just able to, as soon as I stepped on campus, I just felt all the energy from the coaches, from some of the girls that I had lunch with on my visits. And then not only that, I do have family who is probably 3 hours away from here that live in Dallas. So just being able to, you know, have them be able to come to more games and, you know, just being able to just come and have fun.
I'm always curious talking to anybody who enters the transfer portal. You know, I think fans and people from the outside too often just treat it as a little bit too flippant and I think too much anger about players who enter the transfer portal. What is that experience like, having to make the decision to leave the program that you were part of, go and hunt for a new one, making that transition of moving, reacclimating, readjusting to new teams? What has this experience been like for you?
It's been a very, you know, big experience. Just, you know, making a change, like, sometimes it's just time for something different. So it was just, you know, being able to put myself first, having the support from fans, my family, friends, coaching, teammates. So the experience has just been something completely different, something I wasn't expecting. I know some people don't have the best experience, but I could say mine has been pretty amazing.
That's fantastic. I would say experience on the field has been great for you.
Yes.
As well. 5 home runs, which is tied for the lead for the team. Again, you had a great performance this past weekend. What about Houston so far? What is it you feel like has helped you continue to work to grow your game this season?
I think just the drive from the team. Like, everybody wants to win. We have fifth years who, and some 6 years, I believe, but everybody just wanting to have the same goal and just knowing that we're all on the same page and wanting to compete and go far and not end our season later on is just really inspiring and makes me want to keep going, especially the coaches just pouring in their time and their hard work and dedication to us is just really actually making me want to be even more motivated than I am now.
All right. Hitting coach Nadia Taylor there. I actually just listened to an interview from her, which is really good. What's it been like learning from her?
Oh, it's amazing, especially knowing that she is a pro player still. And I think we actually played Texas and they had Nadia Taylor shirts on. And I was just like, wow, like being able to have that impact on a program to where they still recognize you and everything. Like, she's like one of those. It's like, okay, I want to do this. I could do this. Because at first it was just like, yeah, after college, you know, we're done. But now, like, being around her is just very motivating. Like, she makes me want to do more, makes me want to keep just attacking the game and the day by day. So it's very, very motivating.
What's her coaching style like? How would you describe it?
Nadia is, she's something different. She is very different. She's a bundle of joy.
That is an interesting way of describing her. That's fantastic. Okay. All right. I got a few things I got to ask, some fun questions for you. Okay. Number one off the top, you actually have not one, not two, but three walk-up songs, one for each day of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay. Walk us through what those three are and why you picked them.
Okay. Soak City, it's like kind of reminds me of home because it's a song that went viral back home. So I think like that just gives me something like a reason to, you know, keep going. Like, you have family back home, you know, you got to put on for the city. I Look Good. I like to look good, feel good, play good. That's my thing. So I have to have my nails done, eyelashes, hair done. So I Look Good is just like, it describes me. And then Lowdown, I just like the beat. Like, it just puts me in like a, yeah, today's the day. Like, it's a bad day to be a softball. So that's why those three are my songs.
So Friday is Soak City, Saturday is I Look Good, and Sunday is Lowdown. Very nice. Yeah. That's fun. I you know, you think of like one walk, but three, that's okay. I like it. Okay,
I don't like to listen to the same thing over and over again. So I have to switch it up a little bit.
Are you the only one with three, or does everyone have three?
I believe everybody has three.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting when you look team by team and different things. Is that just the ability to have that kind of flexibility of like, you want three songs, have three songs. Like, yeah. how does that play into just like the player mindset of, we're going to do fun things and let you kind of showcase yourself? It's one of the reasons I love college softball. I like college baseball. I love college softball. There's so much more personality. You're all allowed to have fun and there's not like rules coming in about can't do this and that, whatever. Yeah. Like, I love how much fun it is. And how much do you feel like you get to really do that at Houston?
It's just, everybody's themselves here. Like, there's personalities level out the whole team. So it's just like, we're a fun team to be around. And some people may be like, oh, they trash talk. No, we're having fun. We're even each other out. If somebody's high, we're all high. If somebody's low, somebody who's high is picking them up, but we're all going to be high at the end of the day. So just the personalities just even out everything. We're always having fun. And I feel like the walk-up songs make the games even more fun.
Okay. Did you just say that you guys are trash talkers? Are you a trash talk team?
No. Some teams may take it like that, but we're just having fun. At the end of the day, like, it's a game. We're going to be competitive. So you take it as trash talking, that's how you take it. But at the end of the day, we're having fun. Half of the time, we don't even remember what we say until somebody's like, did you guys? And we're like, did we? But it's, we have fun. We're a competitive team. We love to fight. We love to compete. And we're going to compete every day.
All right. I'm using your term here, and I love it. Chipper. We refer to someone, whoever is the mouthiest person, the biggest talker on the team. Who is the big? Who's the chipper on this team this year?
We have a handful of them. And I feel like once that handful goes, the whole team goes, and we all become the chip.
Okay, I need names. I need to know who to keep an eye on. If he's going to be out there.
I don't know. It's very hard. We have, I'd probably say the whole team.
Okay.
The whole team. Yeah. We all take that award, the whole team. Even the quiet okay. ones.
So you guys apparently have an affinity for line dancing. Is this what yes. I understand?
We love line dancing.
Okay. So when I'm watching a game, I'm going to see you guys doing this, right?
Oh, yes. In the dugout, on the field, before we take the field, like, we're going to line dance no matter where we are. If we hear line dancing, we're stopping what we're doing and we're gonna test out our moves.
How did this get started?
I don't know. I think we all love, like, I want to say love, but we all have, like, you know, a strong feeling for country music. And I know, like, of course, TikTok is a thing, and we watch TikTok sometimes. We're like, hey, let's learn this. And then we learn it, and then it's just the ongoing thing, and it just becomes our thing.
All right. So is there a specific couple of songs you guys like? Is there a certain line dance you guys like to do?
We like Can't Get Enough by Tamia, I believe. And then Slow Wind. That's a lot of them. It's a lot. It's like 3-4 of them.
Okay. All right. Something to keep an eye on. All right. Last thing, you know, props kind of become a thing, especially in college baseball, but especially college softball, we see teams find something, some item that becomes kind of part of each team that they can kind of rally around. Talk to me about the key to the promised land.
It's the big gold key. Nadia came walking in one day and was just like, I got the key. And everybody's just like, what is this for? And we say promised land all the time because that's our goal at the end of the day. And she's like, here's the key to the promised land. So that's just like our thing, like our little saying, the key to the promised land. You got to carry it with you everywhere. That's the only way you can get in somewhere. Like, that's the only way we can get to our goals with the key. You got to unlock the doors to get to the promised land. So we have the key all the time.
What moments bring it out? What gets it out of the dugout?
Home runs. When we hit home runs, we bring out the key. And it's just like, we're unlocking the gate. Like, we're headed to the promised land. We're opening the game. We're going to walk through, drive through. Sometimes we can even fly, depending on how we're feeling. But that's the main thing that brings out the keys, the home runs.
All right. Obviously, you guys are preparing for Iowa State this weekend. We'll wrap on this. Have you been to Ames before?
No. I've never played Iowa State either. So.
All right. What are you looking forward to about this weekend series?
The weather. I heard it's going to be really cold, and me and the code don't get along. So looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, honestly, just a great series and just being able to play against a good team and have my team behind me, you know. So just looking forward to just having a fun series.
Larry, I appreciate your time today. This has been fantastic. Good luck to you and the rest of your team this weekend in Ames and for the rest of the season. Hoping to see you guys among the names called when regionals are announced later this year.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Podcast Network.